Blog Talk Radio.
Last week, we studied, we have our outline. Everybody still got their outline from ICF. If you don't have an outline, raise your hand. India will bring an outline to those that need one, pass one out to you. We're studying, amen, our first half of our lesson in ICF. It will be from chapters 1 to 39 to talk about words of judgment, the judgment of the Lord upon the people of disobedience. The second half would be words of comfort after God's judgment, amen, and people repent and turn back to the Lord will comfort the people, amen. So we begin to study, praise God, and last week our lesson was talking about the sins of Israel and Judah. And tonight we're going to talk about walking in the light of the Lord. Still under the sins of Israel and Judah, but now that last week the word of God went out to Judah in messages of rebellion, he began to tell them. Isaiah's message, as we reviewed last week, starts with a message of divine judgment, and the judgment is on Judah and Israel. And Israel, which was Jerusalem, the northern kingdom, had started to sin profusely against the Lord, and Judah, the southern kingdom, was starting to follow after. So God himself was dealing with them in that era. Amen? And telling them, amen, what was going to happen. He gave Isaiah a vision and told Isaiah, this is going to happen if the people don't turn back to me because the people have turned away from the Lord. And so we relate that to the times that we're living in today. And also we had a question and answer that we gave out. So at the end of this lesson, we'll go over last lesson's question and answer. Then we'll have more for the following. We're in Isaiah chapter 2. How many have read ahead? And I told you I have to read ahead. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2. Glory to God. Amen. So we're not going to go scripture by scripture. Everybody has already read. We're just going to break the scriptures down one by one. Tonight we're talking in chapter 2 about walk in the light of the Lord. Now we take verses 2 from the scripture, verses 2, but let's share verse 1 from the beginning. It says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is what he saw. If Isaiah saw this, it was a vision. Okay? Understanding what a vision is. Amen? We know what a vision is. How many is confused on what a vision is? To understand that God had given him foresight of the things that were about to happen to a rebellious nation. And so the word of God in chapter 2 says that the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem began to talk. So we open up the chapters 2 and 4 a little bit, and we talk about the temple. In chapter 2, we talk about the temple. They built the temple of God up on Mount Moriah. It was high up so that all the people around them could see it. And if we relate that to the day, the temple, we are the temple of God. Am I right about it? Amen. So the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And so if we're under the temple of God, and Jesus himself says that that we sit up where we sit that sits upon the hill. In other words, people are watching you. The folk are watching Christians more than they're watching anybody else, because we profess to be holy, we profess to know God, and we profess that we're different from the sinful nation that we live among, right? And so people are watching you. They watch you when you say, I'm a child of God. They watch you when you say, I'm Christ-like, because that's what a Christian is, someone who's Christ-like. So they watch your attitude. They watch the way you talk. This is how you talk. They watch the way you carry yourself. They watch your mood swings. Hello? All y'all movie Christians, yes? They watch how you deal with controversy. They watch how you deal with how you react to situations. You know, the quickest giver away of change is how somebody can say something to you and you react in a negative way. Now, Christians, we've learned how to respond to controversy either with quietness or with a smile. Hello. You don't have to, and I always say, don't let somebody's action dictate your reaction. This is something we have to learn in the process. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away strife. So if he built the temple on Mount Moriah in that day, and this is the New Testament day, whereas we, the people, are the temple of Christ, now we're sitting there on the hill. People are watching us. Their eyes are on you. Hello? They watch how you serve the poor. They watch how you serve the downtrodden. They watch how you walk by people that don't have, and you know you have more than enough and won't share. They watch this in you as a Christian because you told them you were a Christian, and that Christians have standards. And you say, well, if Christians like to say, or I'm the church folks, we'll take that back. Church folks like to say, well, ain't nobody perfect. That's the mind and truth that in you. God's perfect. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. May not be your version of perfectness, but if you're a Christ, child of Christ, and your heart is set on God, then you are perfect. Hello. God, Christ has made you perfect. You accept Christ in your life. The blood of Jesus has made you perfect. If Christ is really your Savior, then everything you do will be striving to live for him, to live to give him life, right? To draw souls to him. If people see you as God, you're sad, you know what that's like. I'm all over the church, other Christians, they run out, they hypocrites all over there, and they liars, and they ain't true to their word, they get the stuff, they won't pay you back, and all this kind of stuff. And I've heard this over and over about Christians. Hello. And when they see this, who's gonna come running to the God that you serve? Nobody. And so here we are, Jerusalem. And Israel, Judah, the people of God that have built the house, the temple of God, high up on the hill, God told them to put it up so that everybody can see. Why is it that they needed to see the temple? So that they can find God, right? Why do you think they watch you and me? They're trying to find who? God. And if they're watching you and me and don't see God, they're lost. And And the Bible says their blood is on whose hand? Yours. Well, I didn't know them yet, but you said you were a Christian. Hello. If we are really true men and women of God, we have a connection with God, whereby even if we encounter someone that's in need, God, or you don't even have to know them, God says, okay, give them a blessing. Or say, at least say hi and smile. Sometimes a smile will be so soothing to a person. You ever have people say, you know what? Come here and say, you know what? I was feeling so down. I looked over to him, he was smiling. And that made me feel so much better. Hello. And that's a door opener right there for you can have a conversation with them and tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Allow them to tell you what their problem is and their situation is. Sometimes people will be suicidal. And they'll encounter you with your name looking seven and eight. You know what? These are the worst people in the world. Let me go ahead on and jump off the cliff. Hello. But if you just make them smile and they'll draw into you. And they see something of the light of God over you, because when you're in the presence of God, there is a light, a glow on you. There's a confidence about you that when people look at your confidence, they see the glow of God, which is the pleasantness, the sweet, fresh aurora of the Holy Spirit. And they begin to draw unto you and draw unto God, right? Amen. So we're supposed to be the one to draw. So they built the temple high up on Mount Moriah. And it was beautiful inside and out. Listen at that. We're talking natural here about Judah and Israel and in the days of the Bible. But what about now, us as the temple of God? That's representative of us. It was beautiful inside and out. Not because you got a pretty face and then you rise to the court. You ever encounter somebody so beautiful or handsome on the outside and it was a horrible mess on the inside? Come on. I mean, you wish you had never encountered them. Because they're mean, hateful, conniving, thieving, low down, dirty, they high up there because they're beautiful, and you can't even get an action, you can't even get an audience to them. If you do, they're going to use you up because you've beneath them. So the Bible says it was beautiful in and out. That was not that they drew people, and it wasn't the beauty of that temple. But look at this now, compare this to us as Christians. It wasn't the beauty of the temple that drew people to God. It goes to read the second chapter. What was it that drew people to God?
The Lord.
Who?
The Lord.
The presence of God was in that place. That's what drew people to Him. When folk encounter you as a Christian, as a temple of God, the city that sit up on the hill, the thing that's going to draw them to God is not because you got on a white dress and you got your ass on neat, but it's because they see the presence of God in you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Isn't that something? The folk can just walk up here and say, I just knew it was something about you. It's just something about you. Not your clothes you're wearing or your hairstyle or that car you drive, but it's something about you based on the presence of God. So it wasn't the beauty of the temple, because the temple was up on a hill, and it was a beautiful temple. But it wasn't even that. It was the presence of God. And I saw a drawing once from one of my books when I was teaching on the tabernacle, where they had a drawing of the tabernacle, and there was a light, a bright glow, going down to the tabernacle. And I can imagine the people that were sitting far away, all they saw was a glow from heaven going into the tabernacle, and they were making their way to the tabernacle. Huh? How many strangers come to you or they run from you? I'm not talking about the one that beg, or they don't care what you look like, they're going to beg anyway. But I'm talking about a stranger, not with just behind, and strike up a conversation with you because you have a pleasant confidence about you. Your face is pleasant. Your aura, your attitude is pleasant. So they want to strike up a conversation with you. And you have a good conversation back with them, right? You've been standing in line at the grocery store and just strike up a conversation. You don't have to get in the grocery line preaching. Sometimes you can just strike up a conversation about the news. And that'll lead you. There's a door open. Honey, there's going to be something there. There's a door that's going to open where you can bring God into that conversation. But if you meet some stranger and you start preaching to them about the Lord, they don't want to hear that right then. You got to walk your way up to that. Amen.
Yes, right.
I mean, standing in line, you know, standing in line. Oh, God. And you know you're in line. And line means wait. That's another word for wait for me.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hurry up and wait. If you still lying, just hurry up and wait. So if you're in a hurry, you're going to get in line. You may never get out of line. You may be there for a few days. So if you're in a hurry, you're in the wrong place. If they're lying, keep moving where there ain't no line. So you get in line, you knew you were in line. Now you got to stop up. I'm so tired. I didn't even have to stand there for a long time. What are they doing up there? People see that attitude about you. You know what I'm saying? That's aggravating. It is, but we got to turn the table. This is your opportunity for the person in front of you, the person behind you, to see God. You're in the city on the hill now. You're in line, but you're sitting up on the hill. Hello?
Amen.
You're the Christian. You're the one that's right there on the hill, the high temple of God. You're the one that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is dwelling in. And these people are standing by the person in front of you. Going on, you know, oh, you know what, it's a blessed day. I thank the Lord for this day. This is a blessed day. And you know what, it's just an honor just to be able to stand here. Because I know a lot of people that don't even have feet to stand on. After a while, you got to come. You ain't talking directly to nobody. You're just saying something in the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, a conversation, a calmness, a calmness, a conversation coming from somewhere. We struck a conversation. Me and a lady struck up a conversation for something tasteless, for something in line. We have been in line so long, I forgot we were in line. I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, what's going on? I forgot we were in line until I was all in the living room. Because the conversation was good and pleasant. I didn't know her and she didn't know me. And once you start the potato chips and end up with God. A Christian's going to bring God in the conversation somewhere. You're going to have to tell the witness of the Lord. If it ain't, but God gives people wisdom to make these things right here. Folks don't understand that wisdom comes from the Lord. And there you go right here. Hello? And then so the spirit is on the hill. Amen. So the presence of the living God in you will draw people unto you. And this is what God expected. That's why the temple was up on the hill. They were supposed to put it there so that people would come to the Lord. And so that they themselves, all the Israelites, all of Judea, all of Jerusalem and Israel would all go to the temple of God, point toward the temple, amen? And so God gave the prophet Isaiah a gift. He gave him a gift that he could see the future. Because even though these people, we learned last week, were had their eyes on God, they were still worshiping God and serving idols on, so they still were doing their best. So in these scriptures, God showed Isaiah exactly what would eventually happen. Somebody say eventually happen. If you keep playing with God and doing your own thing and coming to God when you feel like it, and then doing your own thing and coming to God when you and doing what you want to do it, and it's God and it's okay because of human and I messed up, and you keep messing up. God told Isaiah, this thing, let me show you what's going to eventually happen to these people. Hello? Because they're rebellious. Disobedience is rebelliousness. What does it mean to rebel? I ain't said you, God, you ain't nothing you can tell me. Hello? To tell God, I ain't said you, that's basically what you're saying. We say that to each other, God, I ain't said you. I'm on the ground, you got something to say. I ain't done God. Hello. So you rebel, and he say up, you say down. He say come, you say go. Hey, he say is, you say was. He say past, you say present. So they rebelled against God. So he said, I'm going to show you, let me give you this vision of what's going to eventually happen. And then gave him warning to show you the vision. So God made a covenant promise with Israel, with his people, that God would never break his promise. When he promised to bring them to the promised land, he promised that to raise up a Savior to save us. He did exactly that. Hello, from 42 generations all the way down to Jesus, but he did exactly what he was saying he wanted to do. He promised them. And when God made a promise, he's not like us. He don't break his promise. So if we look at Revelation 21, John shows the fulfillment of his prophecy in New Jerusalem. Somebody say New Jerusalem. So that only those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Bible, which are about to enter in. This gives us hope for the future. God is faithful. Somebody read me Revelation chapter 21, just verse 1, just a touch of it. For the whole entire chapter gives us some insight.
I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
What?
A new heaven and a new earth.
What? say that again. And what else?
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
Wow. A new heaven, a new earth. Everything else as much as it is now was passed away. Hello? Brand new, a new Jerusalem. Because we didn't get the first one right. We messed up in the first one, but because God loves us, and he could have, like, during Noah's time, said, you know what? Forget these people. Fire upon them up. Get them out of here. They ain't going to do right no matter what. But he promised that he wouldn't destroy us by water no more. He'd never do that again and destroy everybody off the face of the earth. And he didn't. But he said, I got to save them. So they can't even save themselves. Hello, they can't even resist the devil. They can't resist sin. So I got to make a way for them so that when they mistakenly fall into divers temptation, that they would have a way out. Hello?
Amen.
Because they're just human. Somebody say they're just human.
Yes.
Hello? That's a God that loves us. Who would serve a God like that?
Amen.
It ain't like he needs us. God does not need us. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God needs us. He doesn't. We need him. He's the creator. Don't you know he can create people like robots if he wanted to serve him, or people that want to serve him. He can come create a people with a love of God. But he gave us a free mind and a free will to choose. And the choice is yours. Who wouldn't want to have fellowship with God? We have fellowship with the devil most of our lives. Come on. And if you're young and you got an opportunity to fellowship with God throughout your life, maybe you're blessed more than the older people that didn't come till they got older. Because you don't have to mull over what you have to go through. You got God with you every step of the way through your journey. Hard times, trouble times, no matter what. You'll have peace that compares all understanding. That's what comes with walking with God. People don't even understand why you got peace. Peace when you're hurting, peace when you're sick, peace when there's death in your family, and loved ones that you know you ain't going to see no more on this side. You know you're going to miss the close to your heart, your children, your parents. A God that will give you peace when you broke, busted, and disgusted. When you're eating out of a garbage can, still got peace.
Amen.
That's the kind of relationship, the kind of God that we serve. A God that will enable us, and he said, well, if you got good, then why don't you stop me from eating out of the garbage can? God loosed us. Hello? Glory. Free will and free mind. So the prophet, still in verse 4, the prophet saw a time of peace and tranquility where there would be not be war anymore. Instruments that were used for war. Then he's got, I love verse 4. That is so good. Read verse 4. Isaiah chapter 2. Read chapter
2. And they shall be their sword into the plowshare.
Say that again.
And they shall be their sword into the plowshare.
Uh-huh.
And their spear into the pointhood.
Uh-huh.
Nations shall not have swords against nations. Neither shall they guard the
plowshare. Love that. Love that. Peace. That's peace. When I can, see, this is what I love about God. He takes the instrument that you use on the other side, turn around, and they let you use it for good. He's like, well, he may not take your weapons from you, but he'll spin it around and make you use it for, it'll still have good use.
Yeah.
Huh? If you're bold, he won't take your boldness from you. If you're bold in the world and bad in the world, he just makes you bold and bad on this side. Hello? That you ain't afraid the devil. Hello? You'll preach the gospel. You'll teach the gospel. For God, you'll live the gospel in the face of death and destruction because you're bold like that.
Yeah.
Hello? Because you had it on that side, God, turn around and work it on this side for the good. So he said, the weapons that you use, the sword, but your plowshare, just by plowing the ground and working them, and your pruning hook. Come on, cleaning and pruning the vegetation and stuff. Now you won't be fighting and killing people. You'll be pruning, you'll be gardening. He'll make you a gardener with the same tools that you use to kill an enemy. Fight war. That's the kind of God. He'll bring peace. Well, there's war. Come on. He began to tell them that their instruments are going to be used for farming.
the war instrument. Take those same instruments and turn them around. God's laws will be taught again. And he said, we will obey them. Without a doubt, obedience won't even be a question. You will obey me. And one day, I just say, God will remove all sin. Sin is what causes war. Sin, war starts from sin. Conflict comes from sin. And destruction of life. Because I don't like you. I don't like the clothes you wear. I don't like the color they are. I just don't like you. I don't like the perfume you wear. I don't even like the name your mama gave you. So there's war, there's conflict. You say yes, I say no. Because I'm a contentious person. Sin! And nobody writes but me. Sin! That's not of God. So sin causes us. God said one day, I'm going to remove all of this sin and everything that causes war, that causes conflict, that disrupts the life, glory to God. But we don't have to wait on that one time. For us right now, glory to God, it's closer than we even think. It is so much closer than we can even begin to believe. If we keep our eyes on the sky, remember the vision the Lord gave me. If we keep our eyes on the sky, glory to God, and then we'll see the time changing to see if we can just listen and watch the news and see what's going on around us. We'll see times drawing nearer and nearer. The day of the Lord is closer now than it was back then. So we don't have to wait. We need to obey God right now. Amen. Don't let him catch you half one. Glory to God. If I'm right up here on the Lord today and then you down here tomorrow, this is when he might come. Come on, don't let him catch you with your work undone, hip-hopping and half-stepping. The Bible is our word, our direction, it's our guidance that we can obey God. And guess what? We can obey God right now. Glory to God. Amen. Today, at this minute, whatever the word of God says, life application. It's not just for them. The Bible says written for our reproof and for our request for correction. The Bible is there for us to see this God, to know this God, to know his mind and his mentality. A lot of people don't understand the mind of God because they don't even read the Bible. Read what he did in the Old Testament. Read how he judged people in the Old Testament. Read how he helped them, how he blessed them, and how still he judged them when they disobeyed him. Read them, and you'll get to know the mind of your Father. When you say, I don't believe my God, yet that happened to me, and you live in like hell, I beg to differ. Because of the law, the rules are set out there. That's just like saying, okay, they put a stop line out there, there's a red light, and it says if you run through that red, when you get to that red light, stop. Because if you run through it, a car or a truck may hit you. Hello. And you go run through it, I don't believe the law would let that truck hit me. Run through that red light and take that chance if you want to. Who can you blame? Look out for yourself if you broke the law. You ran through the red light. Now who are you going to blame? You're through the city of Fort Lauderdale because the truck ran through the green light and you ran through the red light and they hit you? You broke the law. So if you break God's law and things happen to us, we go through another God breaking disobedience judgment. Come on! On this side, there's so much negativity in our flesh, we don't need to add to it by being disobedient. And be being hard-headed and gainsaying. We don't need to be that type of people. We got enough to deal with. We don't need to add to it. Hello, somebody. Glory to God. So we need to obey him now today. If we apply God's word now and we obey him now, we can reap the future benefits right now. Remember Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it what? 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 Say it like you mean it. Abundant life. When? After you die? You ain't gonna need that stuff. After you die, you in a new body, a new heaven and everything. New dispensation, ain't no pain and sickness, ain't no car driving up there and all that kind of stuff. Hello? You need it now. You need healing right now on this side. You need transportation to drive around. You need a house to live in on this side. Hello? You need money to pay your bills on this side. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I am the fulfilling of the law. I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law in that you can be saved, delivered, and set free by accepting me as your Savior. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness and take away all of your sins. And if you ask anything of the Father while you cleanse, right. He'll give it to you.
Amen.
Hello, people. You want something from God? Live accordingly. Amen. Some people think they can live any old kind of way and they come to church and get prayer. I hate to tell you this, and I don't want to bust your bubble, but I am not the Christ. Hello. Somebody was shot, and, you know, right there in the Fort Lauderdale News. I'm not. Come on. And if there's a curse on you from disobedience, the Bible says you're cursed when you go in, cursed when you go out, cursed will be the fruit of your body. Glory to God. And he said you're cursed, 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 cursed. And people don't understand. They say, well, that's on the Old Testament, on the grace and truth. God's love is still the same. And you, it's the same as if, hey, I can't say it's on the grace and truth. If you run through the red light, you break it off, you steal, you're going to jail. If you shoot somebody, they get run and shoot you back. The law is the law. Don't break the law. God's law is the same. Jesus didn't come to do away. I didn't come to do away with the law. I'm fulfilling it. In that your sins are upon me. But, he said, you are to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Because if you love me, you would not commit adultery upon me. If you love me, you will not steal from me. Come on. If you love, come on now. You love God, your temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to take care of that body. Woman, you ain't going to let no man abuse this body. Man, you ain't going to let no woman abuse your body. Come on, somebody. If you love the Lord, you're going to stay under the law. That ain't what saved you. It's the blood of Jesus that saved you. But it's the law that keeps you pure. So that your prayers don't be hindered. I'm not praying and praying. I just pray every day over and over and over. About 10 years now. What kind of backtrack? What have you been doing in those 10 years? Hello?
Right.
Always give me, gotta have, and nothing blessing to the God, nothing blessing to nobody else, nothing blessing to the Lord. You know, it's always give me, it's always me. Lord, me, Lord, I need. What about somebody else for a thing?
Yeah.
What about sacrificing for somebody else, praying for somebody else? Seeking God for somebody else. The Bible says, Jesus said, our Father in heaven already knows we have need of. We don't even have to ask. But he said, when you come to the Father in my name, what does it mean to come in the name of Jesus? Does it mean to say in the name of Jesus? You can't just say in the name of Jesus. Anybody can say in the name of Jesus. Coming in the name of Jesus means that you got to be a son of the living God. Hello. You got to be one of his. Because Jesus said, Lord, Father, you promised me that those that you've given them to me, I will not be loose out one of them if you place them in my hand. So we're his. When we're born again, we become children and sons of the living God. So your name no longer is Bessie. Your name is child of the living God. So when I come before the Father, he sees the blood of Jesus in me. So I have the right to say in the name of Jesus because I live accordingly. I live as a son of God. Hello? Meaning I keep my hands out of the fire. I'm not touching the Bible that what not taste, not touch, not the unclean things of this world. I'm not tasting, touching, or wanting the unclean things of this world. I'm separating myself from the unclean things of this world. Come on. I'm doing everything to keep myself purified. How in the world are you going to hang around now? We don't have skin growing no more, bless the Lord. Hang around skin growing, talking about you trying to keep from drinking. When you turn on Skid Row, you smell alcohol. And how the alcohol is going to resist that? It's like fumes drawing. You see the cartoons where the fumes draw the cartoons to the food. That's what that does to an alcoholic. You're standing on a street where you're always hanging on the street with a cell of drugs, and you know you're addicted to drugs, but you're supposed to be delivered. Come on. You can't hang out in places that you're weak to, that draw you out of the hand of God. You can't hang out with people that don't serve the Lord. I don't care what you've been lying to. Well, you know, I'm talking about people like to say that, y'all. Well, I'm just trying to win them to the Lord. For 2 years, y'all been talking. And they ain't been to the church yet. You've been hanging out with them for 2 years. And you seem to be getting worse and worse. And they ain't coming to the church. So when you go, it's time to loose yourself from that. Let somebody else minister to them. The Bible says, Paul say, I plant Apollos water and you make increase. God did, but you are not the Christ. After you done talked a while, now you feel yourself getting weak. You have slipped a little bit from probably tasting something. Come on. You didn't admit that. And you have flipped a little bit. You got to separate yourself from Billy Bob. I'm going to get on there on my face because Billy Bob ain't ready to get out of this nasty end. So you should stop lying to yourself how much you're trying to win him to the Lord. The Bible says light don't have no proper darkness. Hello? If I could still hang around with you and you still out there smoking and drinking and partying and playing your music and doing your stuff and talking God, but you're not still hanging out professing to myself to be a child of God and we can still hang out together and you don't feel convicted about doing those things around me, there's something wrong with me. Hello? You're supposed to affect change in people. You can't make them change, but your lifestyle affects change. Let me tell you how they're going to change. Because first of all, if they like you and you're around them and you live in the life, they're going to feel convicted in the stuff that they're doing. They're going to soon behind it from you, or they'll try to keep away from you. They're going to either go the other way when they see you coming, or they're going to start coming closer to you and going close to God. They'll either run from you or they'll run to you, one or the other. But if you still you act like they act and they can't tell the difference between you and themselves, they'll always be around you. And if you got people like that around you, you better check yourself because you're living a lie. Now, let me say that again. If you got people like that around you, you still around them and they're not uncomfortable. You're not praying when you come around them. You're not talking about the Lord when you come around them. All you're doing is hanging out and talking jazz with them, and y'all just talking out and shooting the breeze. You still doing that kind of stuff, but guess what? You need to check yourself. Because you're a hypocrite. Hello? You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. And so, if we back up to that, what would, if we go back up to verse, to chapter 2, what would eventually happen? Hello? Keep playing games. That which would eventually happen is going to happen to you. Hello? So if we apply God's word now and obey him now, he can reap the benefits right now. Glory to God. That's awesome. And you don't have to have a whole big fat bank account. You just speak the word. God will give you what you want. Stop looking for your money to be your support, your job to be your support. Glory to God. It's good to have a job, but sometimes that job can't make all the needs met. You're going to have to allow God to stretch it. Bring your tithes and your offering into the storehouse. And not just your little change, but put some real offering in God's house for a change. No! You say because you give your tithes and things? No, that's not it. The offering in the house of God. Stop making some sacrifices in the house of God and watch God move for you. Make some sacrifices for the people of God and make God and watch God move for you. God, we need to get some real Christians in the house of God. All over. I'm telling you, the house of God is turned into a money-making machine or something, a gimmick, where people want power, prestige, and they want everybody to know who they are and their anointing and their power. God ain't got no power now. It's the people's power. Come on. All right. Glory to God. We have to bring God back into the sanctuary. Into the place of worship as well as into the temple, whose temple you are. Y'all know that? Whose temple we are? Whose temple we are? Not like who's, like who is, but whose possession. I'm using whose in the form of possession. Whose temple we are? That's not a question. The Philistines worship, I think I'm talking about in a minute. The Philistines worship Dagon, Asherah, and Beelzebub. The Israelites worship these heathen gods while they worship the living God. Also, they even gave Hebrew names to them gods. They didn't just adopt the practices of the heathen. They gave names. They gave them Hebrew names. Of the God of these heathen, these Philistines. The Israelites took on their practice. See, when you hang around people long enough. What? Why do you think God said come out from among them and be separated? That's just proof. He saw Israel in the midst of the Israelites, he told them, y'all doing the same thing daily. Verse 5, he said, O house of Jacob, walk, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come out of this mess that y'all in. Hello. They were bad. They were following after the gods of the other people and doing what they do. You cannot hang around unfaithful. save people and it don't take an effect on you, I'm fine. And I don't care how much you lie to yourself, it's time for you to break away from that nonsense. We don't have time to play. I certainly don't. I'm already way over the hill and going down the other side. I don't have time to play games. Come on. Wouldn't if I could. Glory to God. And in verse 6, if we go to verse 6, the Philistines worship Dagon, Ashtaroth, Beelzebub, the Israelites worship those gods also. And then in 8 and 9, under the siege of evil kings, idol worship began to flourish between Israel and Judah because of the kings. And sometimes a few good kings would reign, and they stopped the idolatry during their reign. But then when they died and somebody else took over, Israel went right back. They couldn't stand for nothing. You ever hear the saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? We got a lot of things that'll fall for anything. Won't stand firm, even as we. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm walking.
This is sweet, man. Huh? Give it to my baby. Can you get some more? Under the siege of the evil kings, idol worship flourished in Israel and Judah. And sometimes a few good kings would reign. And although not many people today worship carved idols, like stuff you make out of your hand, we don't do that. But anything that's in your life that will cause you to put God second is a form of idolatry. Listen to me. I'm going to say that again. Anything in your life that will cause you to put God second is a form of idolatry. Whether that thing is human, whether it's an object, it is still an abomination. It is still an abomination. Hello? In other words, your cars, your homes, your sports stars and your sports games and your celebrities and spouses and children and your money, things that you love so much that you would give God second billing for that. Hey, you got to have the mentality that you got $20, I'm going to give God $15 and I'll keep $5. Y'all got quiet. Let me tell you why. And that's not just to be all pious and deep and all that kind of stuff. It's because you're showing God that I trust that whatever I have need of, you're going to meet my need. I put your house first. So you put mine. God, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. You put God's house first, he'll turn around and take care of yours. We don't have that mentality. We'll say, okay, here's a 20, give me 15 back, give God 5. And guess what? In 2 days, you're broke. Less than 2 days, probably that same day you broke. When you had flip flop that, 3 days later, you still got the $5. You're not spending the money. People will be giving you stuff. You don't even need to spend your money. Thank you, baby. God bless you. You don't even need to spend your money because folks are giving it to you. People are helping and give you things that you need. Folks don't think, some people call blessings money. It's a blessing when somebody supplies you with what you need. Hello. When somebody buys groceries, God bless you, Minister Terry, bring it to your house. That's a blessing. When somebody puts money in an envelope and give it to you, that's a blessing. When somebody make a payment and pay one of your bills, that's a blessing. Somebody gives you a dress or a suit, new, not something old and ragged that nobody would wear, but something that you can use, something beneficial, something nice. That's a blessing. Furniture. Hello.
Yeah.
Somebody give you some ideas or something that can help you prosper, how to make money, teach you how to make money, make your money grow. That's a blessing. Not always you're going to have your bank account so fat and full that you can count. Because guess what? You can't trust God like this. You can go to the bank and get what you want out of it. You think there are rich people that love the Lord and yes, they trust God? But I think, just like the Satan told God about Job, some of them that say they trust God, I think if they went bankrupt, hello, they wouldn't be on the calling on God no more. If they would walk totally away from the church. Some people serve God because they got. Huh? And some serve him because they won't. Hello. We have people that get their money on the first of the month, and I'm saying this because I know it's the truth. And you don't see them. They don't come to the house of God. But when they get broken, they don't have more money, more. And standing in the prayer line. That's milking God. That's stealing from God. He's trying to steal from God. God wants us to trust him, not always begging him and trying to take from him. Trust him with everything, even our finances. Like Bishop always said, we only have a little bit, so trust God with that little bit to make much out of that little bit. He will take little and make much if you put it in his hand. But we won't put it in his hand. Come on. We want to go ahead and hang in and die. We want to get our time. And then you end up going shopping and spending like, God, I wish I had never bought that. Now you're broke. They ain't going to get enough gas to take you to the next pay period. Hello. Because we disobeyed, we didn't honor the Lord in our giving. Don't do it graphically. I'm the only one giving tithes. I'm going to give them anyway. I'm just saying you're supposed to give that. No, keep that. Because you know why you put a curse on yourself. I'm telling you, and this is so important. Make sure that your mood of giving is good. Make sure you're not giving out of spite and grudgingly because God hears your grumbling. The Bible says we're not supposed to grumble and complain when we're doing things. And when you grumble and complain, God hears that. And guess what? The Bible says you're double-minded and you're wishy-washy and you won't receive nothing from the Lord. So if you get to your bucket into the Lord's house, you still ain't going to get nothing. Because of your attitude. That's the main thing. We have to make sure that we have the right attitude when we're in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So anything in your life that causes that, that becomes an idol. Think about that. Okay, and there's so many reasons why idol worship is bad, but I'm going to give you three of them. Write these down. It insults God when we worship the creator, the creation, and not the creator. It insults God when we worship the creation and not the creator. So what is the creation? The things of the earth, like our cars, our animals and houses and whatever, even our children and spouses, the things that God created. We're his creation. The material things, they're his creation. When we worship the creation rather than the creator, God is the creator, it insults him. And number two, when we put confidence in anything, and this is a long one here, when we put confidence in anything other than God, it keeps us from serving him, the only true and living God, our Father and our Creator. I'll say it again. When we put confidence in anything other than God, it keeps us from serving him, the only true and living God, our Father and our Creator. So I need to repeat number two again. Number three. When we trust in our own efforts and our own abilities and not God. If we put everything else before God, we'll begin to trust in our own efforts and our own abilities and not God. And that's not what Christians do. Our trust is in who? God. Then we trust, and number three should be then, I'm sorry, not when. Then we trust in our own efforts and our own abilities and not God. So we're going to shoot down chapter 12. And then we're going to come off after chapter 12, because we're running short, we don't want to carry on. But in this chapter 12, when he said, "Is the Lord of hosts, this is the day of judgment, the time when God will judge good and evil. That day will come, and we will want to have a close relationship with God when it comes. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Somebody say it's coming. The day of judgment is coming. With God, I'm going to judge good and evil. Guess what? We need to, we want to have a close relationship with the Lord when it comes. Amen? So the first step to developing a relationship with God is abolishing and getting rid of, stamping out, destroying our foolish pride. Hello. Getting rid of our foolish pride. This stuff cripples us. Once we get rid of our foolish pride, we can make God the center of our world and the center of our lives. God wants to be the center of our lives. Get rid of our foolish pride and make God the center of our lives. Amen? They worship God. Their worship was empty, and it was not joined with faith. Just outside, they were just showing off before the world, and we have that a lot in the church today. It's an outside show to the world. People dancing and shouting and bouncing around all over the church, but God ain't nowhere in it, right? So we skip down to 15. When the Bible speaks of highest power in these chapters, it refers to having a security based upon military fortresses like the ships of Tarshish. These are commercial trade ships referring to economic prosperity, and the pleasant pictures that they spoke of are the stately pleasure vessels. We read about that in 15 through 17. Let me touch on that a little bit, refresh your memory. Upon every high tower and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish and upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Nothing can compare to the place of God. God wants a place in our heart. You can have everything else in your heart, but no matter what you put in your heart, it's nothing compared to putting God in your heart. There's a place that God wants, and it's to be in our heart. He wants to be in us, in our spirit. We have to have our hearts and our minds sold out to him. If you place your hope in anything else other than God, that's just a spirit of what? Pride. Pride. And pride brings what? Destruction. So all we have to do is keep on ourselves all the time. Make sure that your trust is only in God. Don't trust in your own abilities. Because you got a degree in X, Y, Z. If the Lord takes that knowledge from you, hello, he can advance your knowledge to that of a PhD rather than a bachelor's degree if you allow him to. Hello. And you didn't even go to school for it. But if you put that knowledge in, you know what, I have a bachelor's degree in this, and I have a master's in that, and I think I'm this, and I can do this, and that. I know more than God. You may not say it in that many words, but your actions say it. Why? Because you're doing total opposite of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Hello? Because you're trusting in your own knowledge. But you need to put your trust only in God. If we refer in the scriptures, go to verse 19. I'm almost through here. Revelation 6, 15 through 17. And I'm reading to read the standard version. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Call into the mountains and the rocks, all of us, and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? And Isaiah 19 says, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Hello, somebody. Amen. So Isaiah saw a vision, and John even saw it in Revelation. We come to the revealing of the things that's going to come again. God showed it to him at the end. Hello. And gonna be so devastating that people are gonna be running to the rocks and fall on us. Hide me from the wrath of the living God. This is a description of the fear that God's enemies, the enemies of God, we don't have to fear that because we are not the enemies of God. Hello, we're the children of the Most High God. So that day will not affect us. Hello. But the enemies of God in that day are going to be so afraid of his revenge and his anger and his wrath, the Bible says. And they're going to be running and looking for places to hide and holes to crawl in. But there won't be no place they can go and hide from God. What the day is there? If I make my bed in hell, you're dead. Where can I go to get away from the Lord? There'll be no way they can hide. The Bible talks about two kinds of fear. In verse 19, this fear they talk about is panic. Peril. Unbelievers are going to feel this on the, in the judgment time of God. The right means to respect, honor, revere, and stand in awe of God. So there's a fear of scare, dread, terror. Oh, Lord, what's going to happen to me? And there's a fear of honor and respect that says, oh, my God, I'm in the presence of the living God. And you fall on your face and you honor him. Hello. That's the kind of fear that God wants from us. I mean, we fear that we don't want to, you know, get into his anger, but God, like, oh, God, but because you honor him and you respect him, that's fear. That's honor. The same fear you have and respect you have for the President of the United States, better than that for the living God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
And so that means that we respect him, the other fear. In Proverbs 1 and 7, Solomon said, those who honor and respect God need not fear his wrath or his anger. If you respect God, you don't have to be afraid of the wrath of the angel of God, because it will not apply to you as long as you're a child of the living God. And not only by name only, but in blood, bought, transfused blood, changed, transformed. Hello. We got a blood transfusion when we got saved and born again. The blood of Jesus was running through our veins now. We are creatures of the Most High God. We're his children. We belong in royalty. So the prophet brought up, in verse 22, the last chapter, last verse in the chapter, says, the prophet brought a point home. People are weak and they're frail in comparison to God. Then they are undependable. They are sinful. They are immortal. They are nothing but mortal flesh. This is what we are. And we have a tendency to trust people. We're going to trust God. We trust in human beings with our lives. We trust human beings with our futures. We trust them with our children, with our minds. We trust all of this, the human beings, instead of trusting in the living God. We don't have that kind of trust in the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, omnipresent living God. Oh, but we put that kind of trust in people. God is the only true and living God. Instead of putting our trust in people, we need to keep it in him, keep our trust in him. Know the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Hello, and blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So you curse men, and it don't mean that God put a curse on you literally, but then too, the curse fell upon you because they will utterly destroy you. How many of them have been hurt, beat down, and downtrodden by men? And I'm not talking about a physical man, but just men themselves, human beings. Because you trusted in them. They broke your heart. Hello. And I'm not talking about just that they broke your heart for loving a woman and a man, love, but also in trusting them even with your friendship. You have friends and you give them everything. Next thing you know, they stab you in your back. Men will destroy you. And not saying you can't trust nobody, but there are times when you put your trust in a man when you should have been putting your trust in the living God. Hello. Somebody came to me this a long time ago and told us something they had did concerning a man, and we were like, Bishop, I'm lost for words. How could you put that much trust in somebody you don't even know? How long have you been? About 3 months. And you did what? You don't even have words after that. You know, I want to tell you what the conversation was, but you don't have words. You like, what? You don't even have that kind of trust in the living God. You should have brought this to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you wonder why you got stabbed in the back, bamboozled, hoodwinked, sideswiped, or whatever they call them all over the world. You wonder why you got drugged through the mud? He's a human being. He's a man trusting the living God, follow the word of God. Follow God. Hello. We need to understand that, when we put our trust in God, you can bring your money and put them in the house of God. And you got to get the pastor take the money and blow it. You know what you do? You did what God told you to do. That don't affect you. God still bless you. But the curse fall on the lead on that one that blew it. That one that took your money and abused your money, that's what the curse on. You are still blessed. Hello. I ain't paying for that car. When you own it. And the house too. That's how you get blessed. Don't you understand that? People don't know. My God, people don't understand about giving and taking care and serving their pastor and their leader. And I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor, but because I want the people of God to be blessed. Don't begrudge those that God put over you. Hello. Why would you sit up with somebody you wouldn't give to? I would not. That wouldn't be me. And I couldn't give, I couldn't help my pastor or give to my pastor, to my leaders. And I don't want to see my leaders with this. A young lady said this to me, and that blessed my spirit. I said to her one day, I said, you know when you go shopping, I said, you got the nicest top clothes. And then I said, I mean, I'll never see you. Every time you come to the house, I'll never see you when you're gone. She said, well, you know what? My pastor gained a lot of weight, and, she can't. We always go together, but she can't wear a lot of her clothes. And right now, her finances are not to the point. Which is this, I don't want to outstrip my pastor. Hello. In other words, she didn't want to show up her pastor. I want my pastor to look better than me when we go out. Hello. And I admired that. I said, now, that's a beautiful thing to say. But there are some people, I saw her with that dress on and you don't need nothing. I'm going to buy for me. I know pastor, I'm going to buy for me. Come on, people. Get a different kind of heart for your leaders and watch God move for you. Man, I used to give so much to my pastors and my leaders. And one time I didn't have it. Broke my heart once. So one pastor I gave, so I didn't have nothing to give. But I only had $5. And everybody was putting big money in the love offering envelope. And I put my little last $5 in there. And he broke my heart because he didn't call the name. But he said something at the end of the service about somebody using up the envelope to put $5 in there. And I know that was me. Maybe somebody else put $5 in there too, but it was a pretty big church. But I know that $5 was mine. And it broke my heart. But I didn't stop giving to pastors and leaders. When I met them, my other pastor, I blessed her even the more. And guess what? God blessed me. And I wasn't looking for him to bless me, but I knew that that was what God put in me to be a giver. People that if I could give you a ride to church, or if you need to go somewhere, that was me. If I need to fix you food, if I got something in my closet that I'm not wearing and you need it, I'm gonna take it and give it to you. That's what God does to us when we're different and we're changed and we say we love the Lord, we really love the Lord. It's not about us anymore. Jesus said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Love the Lord that God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. Hello. And if you got a pastor after the heart of God, you all want a blessing. Amen. Thank God for y'all eagles. So y'all do bless me and this real good. I bless them. Amen. But I'm just putting that out there in general. You really, really ought to want to. People ought to want to bless their pastors. I don't want to give to their pastors. It's up to God what he do with the pastors after that. I did my part. I'm doing what thus says the Lord. I'm taking care of those, amen, that have a rule over me. So the prophet, he brought a point home. People are weak, they are frail. In comparison to God, we are nothing. But we have a tendency to trust him. We need to trust God. Keep your Holy Ghost and talents going at all times. And watch out for people that want to use you and abuse you. Want you to trust them so they can get what you got. There are people like that. We're living in the time now even more so. People are real conniving now. At church folk. I ain't talking about sinners because you expect that from a sinner. Don't be surprised when a sinner comes to you and dupe you out of your mind. Just be on the guard, But when church folk do that to you, that's devastating. That's heartbreaking. Hello. Amen. So we got church folk that will do that. Keep your Holy Ghost and talents up. So that you won't go get falls into that kind of trap. Because only God is the one that we can trust completely and rely on. He is perfect. We can rely on him. He never changes. He will never fail us. Psalm 135 says, for the Lord is good
His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Somebody said, praise be the Lord.
Praise
amen. Amen. Come on and give the Lord a hand. Amen. For our lesson, praise God, amen. We tonight, our lesson was on walking in the light of the Lord. Do we have any questions before we move on? Amen. There's points that we reached, amen, in this lesson, but I have a question and answers for this week's lesson. And we're going to first go over last week's lesson.